so overwhelmed with the stress and pressure of the complicated business details surrounding the planning for a loved one to enter long-term care? Have you ever felt the pressure of being unprepared and faced with the final planning and arrangements for funeral or memorial services of a loved one? Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the details surrounding estate planning and estate settlements and so forth? If so, stay tuned to learn how you can be best prepared and have a plan when we find ourselves faced with the pressures of personal end-of-life challenges.
Welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. We take life's most difficult questions, concerns, and challenges and turn them into manageable nuggets of information so that you can make the best decisions when you are planning for tomorrow. You can contact us at pftradio@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Planning for Tomorrow Radio, or if you're calling from the local listening area, 304-399-8255, or long distance 877-420-8255. And hello and welcome to Planning for Tomorrow. I'm Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Fred. I'm glad to see you here this morning.
It's good to be here this morning. It's going to be another warm day here in Huntington, West Virginia.
Thank you for using the word warm.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we were talking before we went on the air here in the studio about the heat wave that our meteorologists are so excited having.
Yes, they say it with such rejoicing in their voices. Come on. We know it's going to be uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Just say it and get away from it.
Looking at the local newspaper here, and it's telling us 100 degrees today.
High.
And that's and you know, watching the news last night, you looked at the map of West Virginia, and you've seen a lot of hundreds all over the place.
That's true. Yeah. It makes me very glad that I don't live in Florida year-round.
Absolutely, or Arizona.
Yeah, that's right, where they have
the humidity,
temperatures all,
you know,
the time. Exactly.
Absolutely.
I was wondering, Fred, though, obviously heat plays a lot of, makes things different for a lot of people, a lot of jobs, those who are working outside and everything. And maybe a lot of people wouldn't think that it would have any effect upon what you do, but part of the services that you offer actually are outside, are they not?
They are. You know, we're going to have a graveside service or some type of a committal service after a funeral.
Right.
You're going to have people that's going to be outside in the weather, whether it's inclement weather, you know, whatever the weather condition is. So there is a portion of time that we and families are outside in the weather. And
how do you cope with it?
Well, when it's 100 degrees outside, that's hot, and you're under a tent a lot of times when you're at a graveside. But one of the things that we do at Henson Mortuary, you know, we provide bottles of water. We actually put them in coolers under ice. We'll do that. Matter of fact, we have a service today, and that our guys will be doing that. And we'll take coolers of water out to the graveside, and then after the service, as people are kind of moving their way back to their cars, we give them a bottle of water. And, I mean, that is just it's welcomed. We never have anybody
sure
say, oh, no, thank you.
That's right.
You know, especially when it's 100 degrees, you know, and I think it's one of the key things is making sure that, especially when we have elderly with us and stuff like
Yes.
We want to make sure that they're being taken care of and,
you know,
comfortable in the wintertime, you know, when we're out. And, of course, you know, anymore, we have some cemeteries around us that we're fortunate to have that have mausoleums.
That's true.
So some families will opt for having the graveside or the committal service in the mausoleum, which hopefully, not always, like
not
it should
always.
Be,
I know
but
what
it should be
say.
Air-conditioned. So for our cemetery friends listening, get your air conditioning fixed.
Oh, my goodness.
but no, you know, like I said, the bottled water is a great thing to really help people. It's just enough to kind of keep you cool, to make your way back to your vehicle, you know, where you can get in the air conditioning.
I'm wondering, too, not just about the actual heat effects. I mean, a lot of people really suffer from excessive heat. But I think that the heat tends to change people's personalities and feelings. It makes them more stressed. Do you find this with the people, I mean, the mourners who are coming and those who are coming to your services?
Yeah, I think so. I think like you said, heat affects us all, and, you know, it puts us in what we call a bad mood or something.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, I mean, it's just we become a little bit more irritable. And when you're dealing with grief, you've just lost a family member, and you're at the funeral and you're going to have a burial or you're going to have a memorial service, whatever the case may be, you've got a lot of emotions going wild, and then you add this heat element to it where you're miserable, you're sweating, you know, things like that, then it just kind of helps with adds to the irritability. So, you know, that's one of the things that you've got to when you're on my side of the business with our staff, we make sure that we let our staff as well trained to know that, you know, a lot of times when these people are feeling this way, it's nothing personal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of emotions going different directions.
Sure.
And they don't really know how to kind of, I guess you'd say, lasso those emotions and pull them back in and handle them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
none of us really know how to handle this. And I've said it many times with grief. We've never been trained when we go through school or college or anything. You know, nobody really sits down, okay, you know, when someone passes away in your family, this is how you're to react.
Mm-hmm.
We're never trained for that. It's one of those things that we just experience.
Yeah.
And then we learn from that experience, and that's one of those hard lessons, you know. But like I said, you got to kind of really be understanding to people because there is emotions going
through. Yeah, a lot of people, I would imagine, sometimes if there's a little tension between family members, it tends to escalate maybe when things are like this.
Yeah, yeah. In the summer conditions when it's hot outside, and especially when you're outside, mm-hmm. There is some escalation there a lot of times, you know, that normally mm-hmm. wouldn't be there. And, you know, I think heat does play a big part of it.
Well, I think it does, and you're saying that we never receive any instruction on how to behave mm-hmm. when we lose somebody. We don't know how to behave, but that is so true. I think of visitors during a visitation at a funeral home.
Right.
People don't quite know what to say, what to do.
Right.
Give us some advice on that, Fred.
I was just talking to somebody this week, and we've talked about this before, but somebody asked me this week, they said, you know, what do you say? You know, you mm-hmm. go in, you don't know what to say to people, and then I hear the other side, I hear the families go, nobody said anything.
Oh.
You know, and of course, from their perspective, the family that's grieving, they feel alienated or abandoned by their friends because they never even acknowledged that mom passed away.
Right.
Or, you know, they were there. There's there's a, I guess you'd say, a quiet acknowledgement,
mm-hmm.
but there's not really a, you know, sorry about your loss, you know, or you know, they really don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, there's those of us that will say things that we probably shouldn't say.
Yes,
so finding
that happens.
Yeah, it does, you know, and I guess without being real polished here, if it feels stupid, it probably is stupid. Don't say it. You know, so I mean, just kind of use your best judgment on, you know, when you're talking to people. But you know, a lot of us want acknowledgement that we have experienced a loss. We want someone to at least say, hey, you know, Gene, I'm sorry for what you're going through. Fred, I'm sorry for what you're going through. I'm here for you. And you know, I've said this, gosh, a thousand times on the show. When families are grieving, they're not going to call us and say, hey, I need this or I need that. And people, and it's a cliche type thing, and I think it's just all we know what to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time we get a little creative. But we say, if you need anything, call me.
You know they're not going to
And they're
do
not
going
to call you. They're not going to call you. It's up to us to, as a friend, as a coworker, to actually reach out to them from time to time. And, you know, when I say reach out, it doesn't have to be a phone call. A phone call would be great, but a card. Card in the mail, maybe a fruit basket or a basket of flowers, or you know, it don't have to be anything expensive. It's just something that acknowledges, hey, I know you're going through something. It could be a lonely time. I want you to know I'm thinking and praying for you.
You know, Fred, I want to pass this along because this is something that a good friend of mine did for me when my husband died. And obviously, a lot of people come by the house. Close friends will come by the house, and she brought in a grocery bag filled with paper goods. There were paper towels.
Oh,
there
wow.
were tissues. Mm-hmm. Toilet tissue, because she knew there would be a lot of people coming to the house, staying at the
All
house.
All things you're going
to
need.
And things that you need, and you don't want to have to rush out to the grocery store. I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful idea.
And that is a good idea. You know.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah. That is a good idea. It's a great idea. And like I said, that's kind of out of the box. And that's the one thing I tell people anymore when I speak at events, is there's really no rules to what we do. Like I said, we've not been taught how this whole thing really is. We might have some traditions, some community traditions, or some personal traditions, but there's really no rules.
Mm-hmm.
So think outside the box and you know, how could I reach out to someone and be helpful? And paper goods, thinking that there's going to be a lot of people into the home, excellent idea.
Excellent idea, wasn't it? Yeah, I think one thing that I've been told, Fred, is when you go through a visitation line and you speak to members of the families, if you have a happy memory of the one who has died, it's nice to mention that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. We had one of the fellows at our funeral home, one of the young men that works with us. He did some job shadowing, and now he is actually, he was on our radio show, Dakota Parsons.
Yes, I remember him.
His grandfather passed away, and we have done this many times, but we actually set out it's a leather-bound memory book, mm-hmm. and we buy some Sharpies, and then people can actually come through when they have time, mm-hmm. and they can sit down or stand there and write out one memory that they have of that person.
What a good idea.
Think about how valuable that is to a family. After the loss, mm-hmm. after all the funeral's over with, they're sitting home by themselves, nobody there, they can go to that book and they can reflect back and read memories of people that he worked with, people he went to church with, people that he grew up with in the neighborhood years ago. Very valuable.
I think that is a great idea, and for another reason, too, is because after you've gone through the line and you've greeted the family, mm-hmm. and then you sort of stand around and you think, well, what am I supposed to do now? Is it okay for me to leave?
Right.
Whereas you could take time to actually write in that memory book.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a lot of great ideas, and it's just, like I said, it's a matter of getting a little creative, mm-hmm. and thinking outside the box just a little bit. I think the paper goods thing is a great idea.
I do, too. It's nice to get food, but paper goods help, too.
Yeah, they do. Well, and, you know, a lot of people will do food.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yeah,
so you know, mm-hmm. for the person that did the paper goods, you know, that actually stands out even more than the food, probably, because she's the only one that did it, you know.
That's a great idea. Fred, I think we need to take a break.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Planning for Tomorrow.
And Fred, we were just listening to a commercial. It's a good commercial about not driving when you're buzzed, when you've had several drinks. But not just that commercial, but others that I hear. They have the sound of a siren, a police a car, or an ambulance.
When you're driving
your own car, and it's very disconcerting. I mean, you're looking around to see, is someone coming through the intersection, or what is it?
Yeah.
I wish they wouldn't do that in commercials.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how statistically you could verify that, but it'd be interesting to know if there's some type of statistic that would... When people hear those on the radio, they've got, and a lot of people run the radio very loud.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got that in your car, and all of a sudden you hear that siren, you automatically might want to pull a different direction and cause an accident.
Exactly.
So, you know,
listeners, if you agree with us, if you have this problem, give us a call. You know our numbers, 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. Fred, I need to give out a little public service announcement.
Talk about
here.
That.
It's from West Virginia Transportation Secretary Paul Mattox and also from the mayor of Huntington. And while it's a good thing that's going to be happening, you need to be aware of it because there's a paving project that is going to begin in downtown Huntington. It's scheduled to begin next Tuesday, that's July the 3rd, and it's along 5th Avenue between 11th Street and Hal Greer Boulevard. And during that time, obviously, there's going to be some congestion. Fifth Avenue is a very busy avenue.
Man, we need that paving, too, though.
We do need it, and it's good to know that the state is responsible for this. This is a state route. But anyway, it's and once that paving starts, it's actually expected to continue for about a week. So that means it will probably go into the following week as well. So
may want to keep that in mind when we're traveling downtown.
Yeah, that's right. You might want
to
take an alternative route. So, all right. Fred, we were, I think you had plans to talk about some planning, some preparation.
You know what? I think it's been, you know, we talked, I guess it's been a couple weeks ago. We celebrated a year that we've been doing the show Planning for Tomorrow.
Right.
And we talked a good bit about a year ago, or a little less than that, about pre-planning. And we have a lot of families that ask, there's just a lot of questions regarding pre-planning or planning ahead, things like that, you know, the do's, the don'ts, mm-hmm. you know, how do we make the best decisions? And honestly, some of the best decisions you can make is by pre-planning, because you're actually in a state of mind to where you're thinking very clear. You know, at the time of a death, you're not thinking as clearly. You're going to be able to make those financial decisions, which is very important, that best reflect your finances and your family's wishes prior to an emergency. Think about it. You know, we're making decisions at the time of a death. We're basically in emergency mode. So we're making decisions in emergency mode. Imagine if you spent time at your home making all your decisions for a day or two or three days in emergency mode.
Last minute decisions.
Yeah, those are not always the best decisions. And you know, unfortunately, that's just how it is with death and life. Some of us aren't fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who've been thinking about it, it's a great opportunity to kind of plan ahead and make sure things are done.
And you handed me something here, mm-hmm. which looks like it could be very, very helpful, called a companion guide.
Yeah, there's a companion guide. This is a PDF file. It will be on the Planning for Tomorrow website. It's pftradio.com. It'll be under our free resources. And basically, it's something that you can print out. You can open this up on your computer. You just double-click on the link. It'll be up probably tonight or over the weekend. We'll have it put up on the website. But it's called Meaningful Funerals. It's a companion guide. Now, it's not necessarily talking just about funerals. It's funerals or cremations. But there's a lot of information here. It's a decision checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it goes through what you want. And you can sit here and pick out the things that you want. Whether it's burial or whether it's cremation. I like the terminology that's being used in this document. It's providing the life story information. You know, sometimes those of us who have made funeral arrangements for a loved one, of course, you know, me working, owning a funeral home, you know, I'm involved in that every day. But for families that aren't, that may only make arrangements every so often, every so many years for someone, they've probably heard the term, we need to collect some vital information or some biographical information. Well, you know, this right here is talking about providing the life story. And let's think about it. Really, that's what we've been living from time of birth to the time of death is the story of our life, all the things that we've been involved in, all the things that we've done, including some vital information like Social Security numbers and things like that. So it's a great place to start to do that.
You know, Fred, I do wish, and maybe this will incite somebody to do this, but I wish that years ago, I mean, when I was very young, that I had started a journal of some kind.
Not
necessarily
yeah.
every day, but every few days maybe write down something that happened. Because you think, well, I remember all this, but your family doesn't necessarily
Absolutely.
Know what you've
Absolutely.
Been doing.
I think it's great information. I mean, it would be great to have. Mm-hmm. I've thought about that myself, and I've done some journaling in the past. But then, you know, you're on the wagon, you do it really well for a while, and then you fall
yes.
off. I told my wife, I said, I need a personal assistant to document and take pictures, because I hate to go around taking pictures, you know, because you miss a lot of things. But at the same time, you're documenting events in life for
right.
Other family members, too.
Right. Yeah, so, that's so true. But this looks like it's very, very useful, because it, and again, it's sort of a question type of putting it all together, you know?
I mean,
you can just check what you want and what you don't want. And I think something like that is so easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. I think we need to make things simple for people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make it to where it captures what you're thinking, what you want,
mm-hmm.
yet at the same time, it's something that's not real difficult to, you know, shoot. In society, it seems like when we create a document, it has to be complicated sometimes, and I don't know why that is. I guess that's the...
It's the fault of the lawyers.
It's the fault of the lawyers. We'll blame the lawyers, since they're not in the studio with us today.
But, wasn't that Shakespeare? We're just quoting Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wasn't us. But, you know, just a simple document,
yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
is a great thing. And that goes back to, you know, something I'll mention here, we've mentioned a few times here, is the Five Wishes document that we talk about.
That's a very good one,
document.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these documents, the Five Wishes document, unfortunately, is not available in PDF to be placed on the
uh-huh.
website, because it is a document that we actually have to purchase.
Okay, you do have that.
We have this at the funeral home, yeah, at Henson Mortuary. We have these, and they're available for free for anyone that wants them. We still have many families picking those up.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good document.
We've been doing this, a couple months now?
At least,
and,
yes.
And mm-hmm. We've given out close to 1,000 of these now.
Really?
Yeah. So people realize there's a need. And we've had a lot of people that are moving forward and using these documents.
And as I recall, there's even a special section in there for children.
There is. There's a document for children. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure is.
That's important.
There is. So all these documents are available, and that's basically we have what we call the Resource Center at Henson and Mortuary, and the Resource Center is basically a place where we have all these documents and all these things available mm-hmm. to anyone that would want them for free.
Yeah. All they need to do is come in and ask for them.
Come in and ask for them. Call us. We'll mail it to you. You know. I mean, there's no obligation. It's just a matter of we're trying to help prepare a community. Well, it's one of the things that I've noticed since, you know, I have bought the funeral home and been there as the new owner of the funeral home, I've been trying to really gauge what's going on in the community, and what I'm finding is there's a lot of people that just don't have the information. They don't know where to go to, and the internet is full of information, but it's not always full of great, good, accurate information is what I found also. So you've got to be able to know how to decipher that. So what we've tried to do is kind of go through and find out. We want to help people make the best decisions they can. And like I said, these documents are not specific. I mean, you know, they're not specific to us. They're just documents that's going to help you make
They're really sort of what you might call industry documents. I mean,
they really are.
Yeah, but at least that you have them, and mm-hmm. you may be the only mortuary funeral home that has them.
I think we are. Yeah, we're the only ones. We spoke to the people at Aging with Dignity, which is the company that owns Five Wishes, and we are the only funeral home in the area that's offering these.
Yeah. So this might be a good time to mention where you are.
Yeah. Yeah, we have Henson Mortuary. We're on East Pea Ridge, 6357 East Pea Ridge Road in Huntington. Mm-hmm. Really, it's Barbersville, but we have
it's
Huntington address.
It's
the Barbersville area. Yeah, we're right behind Kroger and that area there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we have a funeral home there, and we serve a lot of families in our area. Mm-hmm. And we're, like I said, really trying to be a community resource to our community.
Right. Well, I think these things helpful. And this latest one that you brought mm-hmm. To us this morning, Meaningful Funerals, did you say you're going to put that up on
Yes, this will be in a PDF file. This will be on the website at pftradio.com, so you can download that and have that in your own home printed out. And be able to fill that out and use that as far as putting with your other planning documents that
right,
you have.
Right, exactly. So. Sounds like we're going to a news and weather break.
We are with the bottom of the hour.
This is Planning for Tomorrow, and Fred Kitchen from Henson Mortuaries here in the studio. I'm Jean Dean, and we're going to take a news and weather break now. And when we come back, we've got some more things to tell you. And we are getting a signal from Ernie Anderson, our producer, that we better get our mouths in front of the microphone and get talking.
What's that
Fred?
All about? Oh, goodness. Sometimes we do. Well, most of the time, we really have a good time, don't we, Jean?
We do. I don't know how anyone would expect us to,
yeah,
but we
glad
do.
There's no cameras. So. I don't guess.
Fred, let me get a couple of public service announcements in here. I did mention this one earlier in the program, but in case you weren't listening, that starting next week, there is an announcement coming out from the West Virginia Transportation Secretary. That's Paul Maddox. And also from Mayor Kim Wolf, because there is going to be a paving project beginning next week. Probably going to start on Tuesday, July the 3rd, next Tuesday, although it's a possibility that the city might be doing some work along there before that, perhaps on Monday. But anyway, the area that we're talking about is Fifth Avenue between 11th Street and Halgrave Boulevard. And, of course, that is one of the busiest roads in town. But anyway, there may be some delays, there may be some congestion, but whatever else happens, you need to be real careful.
So find another route.
If possible. Maybe use 6th Avenue or 4th Avenue. But something that it's best to stay off 5th Avenue next week. Of course, Tuesday it will begin. Wednesday is a holiday. I don't know. Sometimes the state actually works on weekends and holidays.
Yeah, I don't know what
the state paving. So I don't know about Wednesday, but then Thursday and Friday, I'm sure they will be working. Of course, it will probably take about a week to get all this work done. So I wanted to mention that. And I also want to mention something that's coming up on July the 4th. Mm-hmm. On Monday, actually, I don't know if you ever heard him, Fred, but we have a historian who joins us every time we have a big holiday coming up, Ken Davis.
Mm-hmm. And I have heard Ken.
Yeah, he's so good, so good. But anyway, next Wednesday evening, which is July the 4th at 7 o'clock, in the Canova Town Square, there's going to be a concert presented by the Cerrito Canova Alumni Band. And I've heard that band. It is very good. and Charles Oshel directs them, and they're going to be presenting their annual patriotic concert. So it's going to be an outdoor concert, obviously, in the town square. So go along and take your lounge chair, and although there is some seating there, but there'll also be a guest appearance by the Saints Alive Choir. So it's going to be a really nice evening.
Good evening. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to predict it will cool down just a degree or two.
Yeah, we'll get about 65.
I was thinking 95, but
okay.
Anyway, back to business here, Fred.
No problem. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we were talking about was planning, and there is a lady named Gail Rubin, and she's somebody we'd definitely like to have on the show. She's written some books called A Good Goodbye, and she talks about pre-planning, and she was in an interview, and she's given some ideas and some answers to talking about pre-planning. And one of the things that she was asked was, what is the most important thing to keep in mind when pre-planning? And her way of saying it, she says, you know, there's mind-boggling range of choices. There's a lot of choices. And, you know, that's what I tell families today. It's different today than it was years ago. I mean, because we have a lot of people from a lot of different cultures, from a lot of different family backgrounds, from diverse family backgrounds that are wanting different things. So we're basically taking what once was a very traditional event, and in some cases is not as traditional today as it once was. So there's a lot of choices that people have as far as creating a service that is personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have
mm-hmm.
to be what I would call a cookie cutter service, stamped out, you know, rubber stamped,
right,
where everyone's
right.
the same. So it can kind of really reflect the life of that person. But she's talking about there's a lot of different price ranges, a lot of different products, a lot of different services. And that you should really, you know, when you go in, you should really have kind of done a little bit of homework, which is what we hope this whole show and the website and the things that we do as resources give people basically homework. They can go and they can take this information, they can look at it, and then they can come back and pre-plan. That way they're making decisions best for them.
And it really, it's not... sometimes people think that if you talk about something, whether it's a traffic accident or someone dying or getting sick, that there's a superstition that it's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that simply isn't so.
Yeah, and you know what, she talks about that on here somewhere, you know, where she's talking about superstitions. That's why a lot of people don't pre-plan, is because of the superstitious side of it, you know.
Right.
They're afraid that, well, you know what, if I do this, then I'm going to pass away, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I mean, yeah. You know, we hope
you
not.
Will.
You will eventually pass away.
But...
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's... That's one of the misconceptions, I guess you'd say, is that, you know, if I do this, if I... And let's think about it. If that's the case, that really, a lot of things that we do in life, if we don't have a plan for, the absolute truth is that Murphy's Law is going to take place. And Murphy's... I hear a financial guy talk about it, and he says, Murphy's going to move into your spare bedroom at some point. And you better be prepared for him.
Oh.
You better have a plan. And, you know, if you're working without a plan in life, whether it's a financial plan, whether it's a retirement plan, whatever that plan is, a plan for a family, a plan for a home, you know, whatever that is, if you don't have that, then chances are, you know, you're going to be later in life and not have anything.
Exactly. You know? I just found the part where she talks about the superstition. She says, the superstition is if you talk about it, you'll make it happen. And she says, guess what? If it's going to happen whether you talk about it or not.
Uh-huh.
So it's much better to be prepared, and it's much easier to do so when there's no death imminent. And... she talks about we're uncomfortable with the idea of our mortality, that this joyride called earthly life has to end. And if anything, funeral pre-planning helps you better appreciate living. And that's a good thought.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, I hear a lot of families that will come in to the funeral home every week. It seems like every week we're hearing this. Families will come in and they'll say, I've been thinking about this, my husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
We've been thinking about this for years.
Mm-hmm.
We've wanted to do it. We've just kept putting it off. We get the nerve up to call you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just cancel, or, you know, we just don't do it, you know. And they leave going, you know what, we feel so much better because we know
yeah.
it's done. It's
mm-hmm.
behind us. We can shove this to the back of our mind,
mm-hmm.
knowing that this part of life, this plan that we need to have, is taken care of.
Yeah, it's not being morbid. It's being realistic.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing the difference between families, and I'm sure there's not a funeral director in the country that would disagree with me on this, but there's an amazing difference between the families that experience a loss,
mm-hmm.
and they were somewhat prepared,
mm-hmm.
you're never prepared emotionally, I don't
sure.
think. You really, you know, people think they are, but I don't think we mm-hmm. really are completely prepared. Mm-hmm. But financially prepared, a plan, even if we're not talking financial, we're just talking a plan. You know, here's mm-hmm. what we're going to do when this happens. Those are the families that seem to be to get through this a lot better.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
they're making better decisions. They don't feel rushed. They're not, you know, I was just talking to someone not long ago, and they had experienced a loss, and they said, you know what, my husband took care of everything. Mm. We don't have cemetery lots, so I'm going to have to go out and buy cemetery lots. I don't know where to buy cemetery lots.
Ooh,
this was a spouse.
Yeah.
And she was, all this pressure that she was feeling all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
to have to go and do all these things
mm-hmm.
that weren't done. And, you know, what's interesting, sometimes I'll see that families, you know, there could have been a really good relationship between husband and wife,
yeah.
but then when they're left holding the bag, so to say,
yeah.
you know, they're out to have to make all these decisions that should have been made, or, you know, they probably should have made. Now they're not as happy with that spouse as they once were.
A little bit irritated.
Yeah. So, you know, there is something for having a plan
yeah,
in place.
I think that's something we need to talk about. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You want to take a break before
Let's take
we
a
get
quick
into
break.
That?
You're listening okay. to Planning for Tomorrow on... Gene?
Super Talk.
Super
Talk. Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. You threw me a curve there, Fred.
And we are back to Planning for Tomorrow. Fred Kitchen along with Gene Dean. And Gene, we've been talking about planning, a lot of things that hopefully is helpful to people about planning. And like I said before, a lot of these things that we're talking about and the documents that we have here with us will be on the pftradio.com website, so be sure and check that out.
That'll be good. And I'm looking at some of the things that Gail Rubin suggests that you need to know. You need to have them written down somewhere. And I have to admit, I thought I was pretty well up to date on all these things, but there's one here that I hadn't thought about. And it says, make a written file of your online passwords
mm-hmm.
because I... Gosh.
Yeah, think
I
about.
I can't remember my own password.
Well, think about that. You know, as far as passwords, Wall Street Journal did an article we talked about some time ago, things that passwords that needle you or something like that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But anyway, and I think that article is actually on the pftradio.com resources page. But, you know, you think about that. Passwords, a lot of them we keep in our head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them we'll write down on a little notepad or whatever that has meaning to us but may not have meaning to any other family member because they're trying to think how we think, you know, when they're looking at that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But passwords to retirement accounts. A lot of people will do online investing and online retirement accounts.
That's true.
Banking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of different accounts. Email accounts, you know. I mean, there may be something in an email account that somebody would need to have access to, mm-hmm. you know, so... There's a lot of things that you've got to really make sure that you have a plan in place.
Yeah, of course, I will clearly admit that I am not very knowledgeable about anything to do with IT and passwords and that. And if you're nervous about someone finding your passwords mm-hmm. that you wouldn't want them to know,
right?
You can always keep it in a safe place and just tell one person
absolutely
that you trust.
Absolutely. You know, we had the lady that was on our show some time ago from California,
mm-hmm.
and she talked about the binder that she had that had all the different type of kept everything organized.
So good.
Wasn't that good?
So
we need to get her back again sometime.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she talked about having your insurance policies in one binder. That one binder had copies of your insurance policies. It had copies of car titles, home deeds,
mm-hmm.
Passwords,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. So, you know, I think it really boils down to being organized.
Yeah, and I feel I'm organized because I've got it all in a couple of file drawers. But there are the file drawers you'd have to search.
You'd have to search through it. That's right. Well, at least you have it all together.
It's not going to be easy to find.
Yeah, at least you have it all together because there's a lot of families that find themselves. You know, for instance, you know, family lives away. Say the kids have moved away and dad lives at home by himself. Mom's already passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he passes away and the kids fly in from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going through his home trying mm-hmm. to think, okay, now where would dad keep this stuff? Because he never said anything to us about it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So there's a lot of decisions that we've got to kind of help those that are going to be here after us.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that they ask about, how does a person choose a funeral home or a cemetery, talking about that, talking about looking for well-established businesses that's been in business mm-hmm. for a long time. Those are good things to look for.
Yeah, I think in a community the size of Huntington, the tri-state in general, that we're pretty safe here. We've got long-established businesses.
We do.
But there are other places, some of the bigger cities in that, where we've read about them,
mm-hmm.
where some... not so good things happen.
That's right. It's a possibility that things can happen in bigger cities and stuff like that. And like you said, in our area, we're very blessed to have the quality businesses that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in good shape there. But you got to always try to make sure that you're making the best decision all the way through on everything that you're trying to do. Make sure that the funeral home or the cemetery that you are using, is going to really do your wishes, take care of what you really want. And as long as it's, I tell people all the time, as long as it's legal, you know, we'll pretty much do that for you. As long as it's somewhat, you're not going to put us at risk of liability, which there's not any cases typically like that. But it's just a matter of personal preferences sometimes.
Sure.
This is the way that we want things done.
Yeah.
Would you please honor that? And most places in our area will.
There's one thing that you mentioned made me think of this about children or other relatives who've moved away and who may not, if it's a long way away in another country, they may not be able to come here. And not every church is able to do this, but some churches can, and that is use the Skype so that those individuals far, far away, like I had a granddaughter in South Africa, was able to be there and really take part in the whole memorial service.
Exactly, yeah. And, for those that aren't, and Jean was saying she wasn't IT savvy and wasn't computer savvy. She is. She knew the word Skype. So but I think she's holding out on us.
Oh, no.
She's a computer guru. But
that'll be the day.
But the Skype basically is a process. It's an internet program that where you can actually hook your computer up and you can actually broadcast or live video chats, kind of what it is,
and
you can interact back and forth with each other.
Yeah.
So it allows that person in that church or that funeral home or wherever that setting's at to be able to be part of that service, even though they're thousands of miles away.
You remember 20 or 30 years ago, Fred, that there was all this talk going on about having telephones where you'd have a picture of the person that you were talking to, and I thought, I don't think I like that. And now, of course, it's evolved,
and now we
have Skype, and it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. I mean, look at the military men that are in Afghanistan, Iraq, our U.S. Soldiers that are able to have some type of contact, some form of contact with their kids, with their wife, their family, that they otherwise would not have been able to do,
like you said,
30 years ago.
Exactly right.
It's all done by phone.
Yeah.
So, we've come a long way, and, utilizing that technology, does not take anything away from a service. Actually, it adds a lot, as far as allowing other people to be able to participate in something they otherwise wouldn't be able to.
That's right. It's something to check into. As I say, not all churches have the capability, but a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to check and find out about that. I love the Boy Scout motto of be prepared.
Be prepared.
And I think that's really what we're talking about here.
It is.
Be prepared.
And a lot of this information that we're talking about here, we have already prepared in packets at Henson Mortuary. You're welcome to pick these up if you've got someone that you think would benefit from this information. They're free. You can stop by and pick one up anytime. Staff knows exactly what to give you there. It's a whole packet full of information. And Gene, we've talked about this in the past, but there's a sheet in there called 125 tasks that must be done on the most difficult day of your life.
Oh, 125. That's a scary number.
Yeah, it is. That gives you an idea of the information. You don't realize the information that you have to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking a little while ago. I mean, think about making a decision to choose cemetery property, thinking about having to make a decision, something that major in an emergency mode, and then later, hopefully, you were able to make the right decision that when the dust kind of settles months later, that you are still comfortable with those decisions.
Still happy with it, that's right, because if you've planned it ahead, it's such a relief that you don't have to do that.
Right. So there's that document, the 125 tasks that must be done, and then there's another document here, the benefits of planning ahead, and it talks all about the benefits of doing that. And I know, sometimes this isn't the thing that a lot of people want to talk about, but you know what? It is one of the greatest gifts that we can give our family,
I have heard that said many times. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely.
And while the 125 number may be a little intimidating, and some of them are really
That's basic information.
Basic information, yeah. But if you put it all down in one place, which you can do with the five wishes, for example, you've got it handy. Very, very good.
Yeah. So. And like I said, the five wishes document, we're continuing to make that available. That's going to be something that will be a staple at our business that is available. And the five wishes document, for those who may be just joining us that don't know what that is, the five wishes document is a living will and a medical power of attorney. It is a legal document recognized legally in the state of West Virginia. However, the reason why it's called Five Wishes is it talks about who you want to make the health care decisions when you can't make those. Also talks about the kind of medical treatment that you want, which covers the two legal aspects that most attorneys will draw up for us.
Right.
However, this document talks about how comfortable we want to be. It goes a step further there, you know, when we're in that state of our life, how I want people to treat us. And what we want our loved ones to know.
If somebody picks up a copy of that, and here again, Fred, I think Hanson Mortuary is doing a great job of providing these free of charge and no obligation or anything. But once you've completed that, what's the best thing to do? To mention where it is to one person in your family, or what do you recommend?
I've been asked that question a lot since we've been offering these, and what I tell families is this original copy here is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make copies of them. We'll even make copies for them if they want us to. They need to be notarized, and they need to be witnessed by two non-family members to make it a legal document.
Okay.
After that's done, then we can make copies of this, put one in the safety deposit box, one with all your other records you normally would have. Your attending physician should have one of these in your file. The hospital.
Most of us wouldn't think about that.
Right. The hospital should have one. I mean, because that's one of the first questions they're going to ask you when you go in the hospital is, do you have these two documents? Do you have a living will and a medical power of attorney? And if you don't, you're going to be talking to a social worker probably.
Right.
And they're going to be, and here you are again, having to make this major decision of all these things, who you want to make these decisions, because you didn't have a plan. You know, so we're trying to really, it's beyond funeral arrangements for us.
It's
about helping families,
really. It really isn't about the funeral arrangements.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the casket and the service and all
that. Not about that.
No.
This is about having a plan that's going to take a lot of load off your family, you know, off of you, and potentially, you know, make things as comfortable as they can for you.
Exactly. I think it's an excellent idea to do this. And we all procrastinate, don't we?
We do. We're all guilty of it.
Off, so. Well, that was one of the things. Have you completed one of those?
I have, and I'm glad you asked
that. Oh, good for you.
That was one of the things when we ordered these in, you know, when we decided we were going to do it, I said, you know what? I have to have this done for myself. I can't, I can't. I got to practice what I preach, and I'm glad I have, because you know. And I'll tell you the interesting thing about this. When I started walking or reading through this, and you know, it's one thing to read the document, something you're going to provide for somebody or something you're going to talk about, but something you're actually doing for yourself, it takes on a whole new personal level for you.
Sure.
And when I started asking myself some of these questions, for me personally, I'm talking about Fred here.
Yeah.
You know, I wish to have personal care like shaving, nail clipping, hair brushing, you know, and I'm talking about personal things that I may
really
want.
That's personal, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going, man, this is real. So this is a real document that's available free.
Okay.
We are at the end of the show of Planning for Tomorrow on this Friday, Gene.
Yep, and I understand you've got some plans for when you come back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll have some guests along with us, and I think we're going to have some good things in store for our listeners. So hopefully everybody's enjoying the show.
Yeah.
PFTradio.com is our website. Be sure and check that out when you get a chance.
And later on, maybe over the weekend, the other document that we talked about will be up there on the website.
Yeah, those documents will be up on the website, so be sure and check those out. And a lot of people are using the website, so that's a great thing.
Actually, it is a very good, informative website. It's very, very interesting. So congratulations on
that. Thank you very much, Gene. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
94.1 FM and AM 930, where Huntington comes to talk to Hoppy Kercheval. Weekdays 10 to noon. Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930. WRVC Huntington.